He's back like a recurring nightmare. He's back like a bad diaper rash. Probably because he has a poopy bum. Legendary broadcaster, Drew Marshall.
Secret of a happy marriage. Maybe you should write this down. You wanna keep a love together? The best way is to end it now. When you both know it's over, suddenly the truth comes out. You can talk about your secret passion. You can talk about your restless doubt. When there's no pretending, then the truth is safe to say. Start with the ending.
Get it out of the way.
So good. Oh, wait, I should let David finish the song. I can call him David.
Start with the ending.
It's the best way to begin. David Wilcox, American singer-songwriter. That's his song. That has been the theme song for this nine-week segment called Rebuilding Love. David joined us on the show last week, and powerful guy, intuitive guy. He knows some stuff.
Great laugh.
He's got a insane laugh. He laughs like a sick hyena. Anyway, Rebuilding Love, How Can a Marriage Rebuild After It Ends? It's a nine-week series with myself, my wife, and relationship guru and psychologist Dr. Sue Johnson. Bev and I, that's my wife, tried 28 years of doing marriage our way, and it tanked. It didn't go well. It ended. However, after a long separation, Bev and I recently renewed our vows in a small deserted island off the coast of Mexico. And now to make sure I don't screw it up again, I asked a renowned psychologist and relationship guru, Dr. Sue Johnson, to help Bev and I rebuild our love, but this time using some new foundational building blocks and tools that we've never had before. She agreed, and we did these video calls from Higher Ground Cafe in beautiful downtown Bell Fountain.
Come for the coffee.
Stay for the nature. And it was good. It was really good. We had a great time. It's seven conversations for a lifetime of love. The last conversation was last week. But today is a sort of a summarize it all finale.
It's actually kind of the ninth one, isn't it?
Yes, this is the last one. So Bev and I are going to talk about what life has really been like since we got back together 3 months ago. And without Sue being here, so we can talk about her honestly. How do you feel about that?
Fine, because there's nothing bad to say about Sue. She's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Not at all. I'd like to meet her in person one day.
She scares me a little bit.
Oh, no.
The accent.
She's very sweet. How can you be scared of a British person?
They're the ones you have to be scared. They're always the villains.
No, it was quite good. All right, what has life been like since we've been back together again? Some people are imagining the Hughes are alive with the sound of music.
I can't imagine anyone really feeling that way.
No?
Or thinking that way. No. No, it's been life busy. I think we've...
Blissful?
Blissful with some unblissfulness in there.
Blistex.
Some hiccups.
One thing that you said, Bev, and I want everyone to know this, because at the beginning, I think you were a little worried that I'd be in your space a little too much.
Yes.
Because you created a nice, you know, sort of Calgon moment at your farm.
You're dating yourself with that reference.
Peace, serenity, farm, dog, right? And mm-hmm. then you invited me into that serenity. And
well,
you
I wanted to get
worried.
More animals.
Oh, you're funny.
Doubled up on that.
You were worried that me coming into your world, that you would be like, okay, we need to get you an office somewhere else, right? When we looked for an office.
Yes. I thought you being in the house so much was going to be a negative thing. So far, so good. But then, you know, you're ending the show, so now we're just going to kick you out to mow grass or something. I don't know.
I'm thinking Walmart.
Walmart greeter. Yes. There you go. There's the next step.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Walmart. I could rock that thing, man.
No, it hasn't been near as bad as I thought.
There have been tears, though.
Just when I don't get what I want or
no. Don't even that's
well,
not even you.
You know, communication is, you know, when you're going through any relationship, it's learning how to communicate again. And when we have rough spots or trigger spots, we've had to work through them. Mm-hmm. So I think the better thing now that there's not a lot of history and emotion that's behind it. So when something comes up, we just go, hey, this is how this made me feel, or I didn't like the way this went down, or we can speak truthfully about how we're feeling. It's like a clean slate.
Let's give everyone an inside look at one of our arguments. One of our times of
conflict. Which one?
So, probably, I think it would be the one that came up regularly, which was, I would mow the lawn or cut down branches or tree or whatever and that kind of stuff, and then you would come in afterwards and go, oh, how come you did that, or why didn't you do this, and it and my brain exploded.
Yes.
and we inevitably, I think we came to the, like, there was some heated stuff there about, dude, why, just leave me alone. Or if you, you know, why do you have to care about everything? You want it, everything done a certain way. And so I'm caring very little about so much, and you're caring very much about a lot. And I ended up saying to you one time, if I could help you get to a point where you could just breathe through so much more instead of not breathing.
Sure.
Is that a good summary? How did I?
Yeah, I think. Part of that is, though, is me letting go of the things that I can trust you're going to do what I want you to do or what I have envisioned in my head.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, something that I've had to work on is just being able to communicate what I want and then just letting it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, and I think there's some, and Tim, you may get a little bit of this, there's something about a guy that just, like, really, you have an opinion on how I cut the lawn, or you have an opinion about me cutting down a tree? Like, I just let me cut down a tree. It's a guy thing.
The thing I love about my wife is her perfectionism. The thing I hate about my wife is her
perfectionism.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And she's saying the same thing. Like, can't you see that it needs to be done this way? And like when she explains it to me, I kind of go like, okay, I can see that, but really, okay, the lawn's cut though.
Yeah. Exactly.
We have visions in our head of the way things should be.
What now? That was the one that stood out for me as far as how, like, again, you know, I want people to see this, or us and everything we've just talked about, this 9-week series, as just a really authentic moving forward of something. I just really don't want people to get, oh, isn't that lovely? You mean they got separated a long time, now they're back together? That's so beautiful. Hallmark, let's do a movie. It's not.
Well, the biggest thing that I think we got from Sue's stuff is learning the dance. And the dance is basically how you argue or how you address conflict. So every couple addresses conflict different. So once you can identify how you do conflict, you can get, instead of getting caught up in the dance, you go, okay, oh, I'm going through that cycle again. Let's stop this here. Let's communicate about what's really going on as opposed to getting stuck into a dance.
One thing that I want to let people know is that there is a weird dynamic when it comes to us being romantic and sexy time. I just keep saying sexy time because it's just too awkward to say.
I just think of the Flight of the Conchords every time you say that.
You got a new apron though, Drew.
It's true. I got a new apron. We talked about that earlier.
Oh dear.
But you're now my friend, and you were never my friend. When we were married, you were not my friend. We weren't friends. We dated briefly. We got pregnant. We got married, and that was life. And we never got a chance to develop a friendship. But now we have this kind of fun friendship, and you're freaking hilarious. You're way more funny than I ever remember.
Yes, I've always been funny. Sometimes that takes a back seat to Mr. Funny Man here, who thinks he has to be the funny guy all the time.
So anyway, her mic, can we turn it off?
Yeah.
I should want to devour you every day. You know,
do you
I'm
know
trying
how
to
old you are?
I know, but I'm trying to figure out if is it age or biochemical or where we're at in life or the amount of work we're doing around the farm and stuff and... Or is it, I just see you as such a friend now, and I've never wanted to make love to a friend. That is still one weird thing in my head that I am trying to figure out, you know?
Well, it's not like a brand new relationship where the hormones are going crazy. So, yeah, it's a different relationship. And I think, you know, as long as we're both comfortable and we talk about what that means to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, you know, last night cuddling on the couch just watching something, that was just so
good.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And so not you, from what I remember.
Nope.
But why would you want to cuddle a jerk?
Exactly. I didn't really like you. So you can go sit in your lazy boy over there.
Oh, worst thing to ever buy for marriage. Worst thing. And Bev called it. When I wanted to get a lazy boy recliner thing or whatever, and she's like, no, that's horrible for us as a relationship. She called it. As soon as I got the lazy boy, our marriage tanked. As soon as I got rid of the lazy boy, we started cuddling on the couch again.
So really, this whole thing with Sue is useless. You just need to get rid of your lazy boy.
It's all about the lazy boy.
Well, who's on the line right now? It's the attorney for lazy boy.
Yeah.
Well, it is nice to kind of, I don't know, it's just great to hang out with you.
Well, I think there's different seasons in everyone's relationship. So this is a brand new season.
Yeah.
And I think not having expectations of what that should look like is good.
How do you, by the way, if you hear any heavy breathing,
that's
not me.
That's me. Tucker.
I'm jealous of both of you. I'm going to go sit my lazy boy.
Our dogs are here. Beans is in the studio, Bev's dog, and Tucker is here in the studio as well. All right. As far as it comes to this hold me tight stuff, you and I would both recommend other couples do this.
Definitely.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But why? Because I'm going to say to people, you go to drewmarshall.ca, you click on the take the same course or program that Drew and Bev took. It's a big green thing that says hold me tight, and it's going to take you to where you need to go. It's going to cost some money. So people are like, well, why am I spending money on this? How is it, you know?
Compared to counseling.
It's like nickels and dimes compared to walking with a counselor. And you may want to do that next. If you can afford walking through the hold me tight stuff with a counselor, great. But not many people can. So why would people sign up for this?
I think Sue said it brilliantly in the videos. They've got tons of success stories. It's not just something that's out there, try my way, because it's the only way. It's a proven method, emotionally focused therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because it's got the science behind it, we've gone through it, it made sense to us. The going through the book and doing the conversations opens up a can of worms. So as you're going through the conversations, you're talking about real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just well put together with lots of backing, and everything is in the course that you need to know to get through it.
As you said earlier, I think one of the things that stood out for us is figuring out what our demon dialogue was, what our dance of destruction, I would call it. And it really was this cyclical pattern. And we ended up giving it a nickname. We called it the moon dance. It goes like this. There'd be something snap between us, and you would go quiet, and I would get bigger. You would wane, I would wax. I would go, what are you doing? Why can't we die? And then you would just kind of get quieter and more invisible and, you know. And it was just this ridiculous dance. Now, you have seen that you playing the nice, shy, humble, quiet, amicable peacemaker, which we'll talk about later, is serving nobody. It's not helping.
No, but that was my coping, way of coping and being able to continue in a marriage that I was not happy in. So it was just a coping mechanism.
And me going, Bev, why don't you talk to me more? Apparently doesn't work.
No, that didn't work so well.
Was there anything you didn't like about the Hold Me Tight course? The Hold Me Tight program that we went through with Sue?
Doing it via Skype or whatever, I think... if we were in person, there probably would have been probably more one-on-one stuff.
Yeah.
I think with it being videoed, it probably had a different flavor to it than had we been in an office, but that we won't know what that would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's nothing that I did not like. Sometimes we looked at those chapters and went, holy crap, how are we going to get through that chapter? But no, there's good practical stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. There are a whole bunch of videos of Dr. Sue Johnson, world-renowned relationship guru, a psychologist, the author of Hold Me Tight. It's her program that we went through on YouTube. that we've posted. If you want to find them, you go to drewmarshall.ca and you click on watch the videos of the Hold Me Tight stuff, and you'll see Bev and I go. Now, someone said to us the other day that they saw, you know, some emotion. There were some emotional moments there. Like, I teared up a couple of times. You teared up. I don't even know what my question is other than to say, you know.
We faked it real good?
We faked it good. Yeah. No, I think this emotionally focused therapy is really getting people to just ask for what you want. Own what you need. Like, I felt like a real, just an incredible wimp for saying, I really need you. I need to communicate with you. We need to communicate with each other. I need cuddling. Will you cuddle with me on the couch? Like, how many dudes say that on the baseball team? Well, maybe not to each other, but.
I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
I just felt pathetic saying that stuff. But once you heard it come out of me, if you actually gave a genuine rip about me, you would listen to it and go, oh, okay, so he does want that. He does like that. Or, for example, when I was rubbing your feet on the couch a few days later in therapy with Sue, you'd say, oh, I loved it when he did that. And I was like, well, then why won't you tell me that when I'm doing it? Or, and you know, you're so quiet about this stuff. You don't.
Probably because I thought it would be like reverse psychology. That feels really good. You just stop and you start tickling yeah, or something.
Yeah. But no, you're learning.
Yeah.
What? In those scenarios.
To speak what I feel.
Do you feel I spoke too much during the 9-week series?
Of course. In fact, the last session, he said, you're not saying anything. Let's hear from you. And I think I said like maybe 3 words or a sentence. And then he went into, oh, yeah, and I got this great story. And he goes on about this story. And I'm just going, okay, that's the end of me speaking.
No, I was trying to save you because
you were coughing
a lot.
Nice try. Yeah. As you know.
She's just speaking how she feels, Drew.
Yes.
Telling
you like it is.
I want to know, Bev, how hard is it after years of not speaking your voice? How hard is it? Are you seeing some positive results? Like, what's it like?
That's a good question, Tim.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it wasn't just with Drew, although I decided to end our marriage because I felt there was too many things to say that it was too far gone. But I had made a decision when I decided to end the marriage that I was going to start speaking how I felt, because I was the type of person that did everything for everybody. So I had decided, you know, you live 50 years on this planet, it's time to maybe change some things up a little bit. So I was finding my voice anyway in a lot of things, you know, changed jobs, changed stuff, got a business, a lot of different things. So being able to communicate as opposed to just biting my tongue and keeping the peace was something that I had already decided to do.
So the course was kind of a nice confirmation of it, and I guess maybe gave you some tools to help?
Yeah, and even, I mean, even with Drew now, like, well, something will come up, and because I will process things too, I don't just say what I think at the time. So sometimes it's like, okay, we'll come back. Okay, when you did this or you said this, this made me feel this way. This was a trigger of something that would have happened in the old us, and we'll talk about it. So yeah, it's making a conscious effort of how I feel and to make sure that I communicate. And it's not out of anger or anything else, but it's thinking, okay, this made me feel this way. I have to pay attention to how that made me feel instead of stuffing it. And then, you know, communicating it not out of anger or out of, but just letting him know. Because again, how is he supposed to know how I feel or how that made me feel, or, you know, this was something that was an issue in the past if I don't communicate it.
A couple things, if I'm allowed to speak. One.
I think I would really like to say something else. No, not really.
One is that our realtor who sold our house is chirping us during the live stream on there. Wise guy, Gord Purdy. Also, Ashley David Chapman is listening to this interview on the way home, Vice President of Chapman's Ice Cream, and he officially decided that you are funnier than I am, Bev.
Oh, excellent. Good.
He's a wise man.
Oh, stop it.
David Chapman.
So let me ask Rachel, the intern, and Erica, the intern. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. You've seen some of this journey. You've heard some of this journey. Do you believe it? Do you have any questions? Does something strike you as odd? Because you guys have seen this whole thing.
Are you actually going to change, Drew? Is it going to stick?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that, but Rachel, the intern, for 2 more weeks, said...
or not.
said, are you actually going to change? Is this going to stick? And I think that was something that Bev had to figure out as well before she said, yeah, I think we should get back together again. Like, is this just Drew trying to win me back? Because we all know that guys, on the most part, it's guys that do this. I know I'm, you know, there's not supposed to be any genders these days. But for as far as I'm concerned, guys have this pursuit mentality. It's about capturing. I don't know if it's like primal caveman stuff or what it is, but it's like...
Chase.
It's the chase, exactly, yeah. And then, boom, I've got her back. And then, oh, am I just going to settle back into what I was before? And I'm terrified of that. So I'm glad you asked that question, Rachel, because I really am. I'm terrified of seeing that potential in my own self. But I think when you're aware of that, that is the first step. Like they say in all sorts of recovery, being aware that you have a problem is the first step of change, really.
And like reminding yourself of what it was like in that state before.
Oh, totally. Rachel said reminding myself of what it was like in that state before. And, you know, I've sat in the farmhouse and looked out over the property and just said, this is so amazing. That's like, dude, don't screw this up. This is so good to be in your life. And like living in the old house, the empty house by myself. Yeah, it was clean, but it was empty.
Yeah, he still hasn't picked up the cleaning part that I thought he would. We're going to work on that. That's going to be part of his next job when this stuff, no more show. Okay, Molly Maid.
A little plug for Molly Maid there.
Maybe you can buy yourself a little costume, Drew.
Okay. All right.
He can clean in his new apron.
Thanks, Ashley David Chapman. Jerk.
I've noticed a difference in both of you. I mean, I've been with you for 8, 9, 10 years now, like every weekend. And
right.
I've seen you go into this separation, and now you're coming out. You are different.
How?
You seem more relaxed.
Okay.
And it's funny because I would say the same thing about Bev. Huh. You seem more at peace, relaxed with yourselves, which I think is important now that you are with each other. Like, you know, this Neil guy that was just on talking about being, you know, liking yourself. I think you guys like yourselves better.
I think when you're young and you get married young and you have kids young, you go, 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 and you're all about your life and your family and you get going, that you do lose yourself and you're growing up in there somewhere. And sometimes the person you were when you're married isn't the same person as you grow up. So I think it's a natural progression to, you know, at some point reevaluate where am I in life and what do I want in life? Am I going down this road? And then looking back thinking, ooh, I should have done this or I should have done that. So I think... You know, it's a natural thing in most marriages. At some point, you have to take stock to see where you're at and reinvest.
Well, this is the second last time Bev will be on the show. She's actually, Pokeroo is going to show up one more time.
Wow.
Pokeroo. Wow.
Snuffleupagus. It's the imagined thing we're talking about.
Well, you really haven't. I mean, the first time you were on the studio was when we started this this series. And as your second time here, it's good to have you back again. It's nice to have you back, Bev. And but our last show, the last half hour, we're going to have Grant Marshall, my dad, do his last Meanwhile Back on the Farm bit. And Bev will be there for the end. It'll be her birthday on June 29th. Listen, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, Gail Scott will be joining us. Gail Scott is our Enneagram guru. The Enneagram played a huge, huge role also in the restoration of our marriage. Only after learning about ourselves and then each other from the perspective of the Enneagram were we able to do 2 things. Number 1, practice compassionate, non-judgmental self-awareness. And number 2, not take unmet needs in our marriage so personally. And Gail was huge, instrumental in helping us understand the Enneagram. Short break. Stay with us.